But if you are new, I do want to welcome you. I'm Pastor Burritt, and I'm glad that, so glad that you're joining us today, because what we're going to be looking at today affects all of us in some way at some time in our lives. Whether you're right now personally fighting some sort of bad habit or addiction, or have overcome one in the past, maybe you have someone in your life who's enslaved by an addiction. This talk is going to help provide some tools, I hope, to assist you in helping to overcome those things that are so hard to break free from. Now, I don't claim to be an expert on this topic, so I'm going to follow some steps that were developed by a great program called Celebrate Recovery. And if you or someone you know has been enslaved by addiction, I highly recommend finding a Celebrate Recovery program at one of our churches in the Edmonton area. And if it's a friend or family member of yours, though, please offer to go with them. Offer to go with them because, as we'll see in our last two points that we're going to look at today, having support is essential to finding freedom. It's so important. But if you are the one that's struggling, please don't let shame keep you from discovering freedom in your life. There are good folks here who are ready to walk with you through that valley and help you come out on the other side, victorious and free from your slavery, because that is exactly what addiction is. I want you to listen to what Peter, who's probably the best-known follower of Jesus, had to say about this some 2,000 years ago. He said, "They promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves of destructive habits. For we are slaves of anything that has conquered us." This is why we need help to overcome and find freedom. Because those destructive habits that today we call addictions are stronger than we are. They're strong, right? They're stronger than we are because they've already conquered us. And I don't care what your habit is. Everybody has bad habits. The difference is that some are just more destructive than others. Some can even kill you. Two of the last three funerals I did before coming to Devon were results of drug addiction, all within the last couple months. Don't fool yourself. Addiction is a killer. That's why I want to give you today 9 biblical steps to take that will lead you to freedom. When you break a habit, there's a spiritual part, there's a physical part, there's an emotional part. I want to deal with the emotional and spiritual today. 9 steps from God's word on how to break free from a bad habit. In fact, if you've already taken a look at your outline, which I hope you already have, there's an acronym there, because that's what pastors do. But I'm using to help explain these steps today, and the acronym is Break Free. Appropriate, right? It's a lot of points, right? There's 9 points there, so let's start right now. Which just so happens to be the whole point behind our first point today, that is, you need to begin today. You got to start right now. Have you ever noticed how many people say they're starting on a diet, right? Tomorrow. Nobody wants to start today, right? The wise King Solomon of Israel wrote thousands of years ago, "Never boast about tomorrow. You don't know what will happen between now and then." Quit telling yourself one of these days. It ends up being none of these days, right? It's going to be harder to change tomorrow than it is today. Because delay always makes a problem worse. Solomon also said, "If you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done. Truth is, a person who really wants to change finds a way. The person who doesn't want to change finds an excuse. Begin today. R is refuse to blame others. Refuse to blame others. You know, this problem is as old as the first couple. Sorry, I'm just going to pop this out of my ear. I still have it ringing in there. There we go. This problem's as old as the first couple, Adam and Eve. Adam sinned, took it like a man, blamed his wife. Right? And then he blamed God. Take a look at it. It was the woman you gave me, right? Gave me the fruit. She gave me the fruit. And I ate it. Right? I will never find freedom until I personally accept responsibility. I've got to admit that I am the one who got myself into this. So I need help getting out of it. Another of Solomon's Proverbs says, some people ruin themselves by their own stupid actions and then blame the Lord. Who are you blaming? For your bad behavior, bad habits, maybe your bad problems, your addictions? You blame your parents? You blame your spouse? Did the devil make you do it? Do you blame God? In order to break a habit, you've got to quit excusing yourself and stop accusing others. When you blame others, you are being lame. Blame, get it? Be lame. You're being lame. Never mind. You must assume responsibility for your poor choices and find out why you made them in the first place. Right? Which is actually our third step. I need to examine my life. How did this start? Where did this happen in my life? You need to take an internal audit. Questions like, what are my weaknesses? How long have I had this problem? Why did it start? Where am I tempted most? Do I have fears, frustrations, failures that led to this? You need to take an honest evaluation of yourself. You need to come face to face with your faults because you can't fight what you don't know. Or worse, what you know about but you keep hiding. The fact is that hiding a hurt hinders healing. And you can quote me on that. Just don't say it five times fast. You could hurt yourself. Hiding a hurt hinders healing, okay? Israel's famous King David admitted this in Psalm 32. He said, my dishonesty made me miserable and filled my days with frustration until I finally admitted my sin and stopped trying to hide them. And God forgave me. All my guilt is gone. David said that hiding his problem made him miserable and frustrated, right? God says, just admit that you've got a problem and I will forgive you and help you, and I will wipe away the guilt and the shame. Mentally healthy people are always evaluating themselves. Am I slipping into a bad pattern? Am I getting enough rest? Where am I getting off course? You need to be honest with yourself and honest with God. As it says in the Bible's Book of Lamentations, we should think about the way we are living and turn back to the Lord. So it says this step is meant to actually lead us to our next step today. And that is ask Jesus to lead my life. Ask Jesus to lead my life. You know, once you've examined your situation and admit that you need help, why not start at the top? If you're going to get help, get it from the best, right? God's waiting to help. You need a power greater than yourself if you're ever going to really discover what true freedom is. You can't change on your own power. In his letter to the church in Rome, the early church leader named Paul suggests going straight to the source. He says, you must not give sin a vote in the way you conduct your lives. Don't give it the time of day. Don't even run little errands that are connected with that old way of life. Throw yourself wholeheartedly and full time into God's way of doing things. Remember, you've been raised from the dead. Sin can't tell you how to live. After all, you're not living under that old tyranny any longer. You're living in the freedom of God. Paul says that the solution to your addiction or sinful habit is in choosing to follow a different master, the right master. Instead of letting sin control your life, you choose to do things God's way. That's where freedom starts, right? Now, often we only want God to deal with the problem. God, I've got this problem, please deal with it. But I still like to have control of these other areas of my life, right? Don't we do that? Did we forget that that's how we got in this problem in the first place? Trying to control the areas of our lives? Paul says, if you want God to work on your problem, you've got to give him everything. Not just one part. Why? Because the problem is, I'll just blow it again. Psychologists tell us that when life is out of control, we try to find something that we feel we can control. So we turn to pot, porn, pina coladas, or potato chips. The irony is that the very things we turn to find control, they're the things that end up controlling us and ruining our lives. Jesus said, a thief is only there to steal and kill and destroy. I came so they can have real and eternal life, more and better life than they ever dreamed of. Bad habits, addictions. Every sin has one purpose, to steal your life and destroy it. Jesus came to set you free from sin's control so you can live in true freedom and fulfillment and purpose. Give your life a purpose for living. The good news is that you matter to God. He has a purpose for your life. His plans, he says, are good. And they're, guess what? They're perfect for you. They were tailor-made for you, designed just for you. So you can relax and let God take care of your life. And he will give you the power you need to overcome every problem you have to face. If you'd like to do this today, then at the end of my talk, I'm going to lead you in a prayer to take this important step in discovering true freedom in your life. And when you do, God will also help you in our next step we're going to look at right now, and that is to keep away from temptation, to stay away from it. This should be a no-brainer, folks, right? If you don't want to get stung by the bees, stay away from the tree. You need to avoid the situations where you know you're going to be tempted. Paul told the Roman church, do not allow your weak thoughts to lead you into sinful actions. Don't put yourself in tempting situations. If I have a problem with drinking, I don't stock a bar in my basement. If I have a problem with lust, I put an accountability app on my phone or on my devices. If I have a problem with overeating, I don't fill up my cart with junk food. I avoid whatever causes me problems. Solomon gave the following advice to his children. He said, plan carefully what you do, and whatever you do will turn out right. Avoid evil and walk straight ahead. Don't go one step off the right way. So Solomon says, he says to plan, right? Make a plan to avoid temptation. The key to overcoming temptation is to decide in advance not to go there. You don't go to that bar and then decide, maybe I shouldn't have a drink. You plan in advance, right? If you're single, plan your dates ahead of time. If you don't want to get involved sexually before you get married, plan ahead. You'll either go by your plans or you'll go by your glands. One of them is going to win out. And if you plan ahead, your plans will always win. Do the smart thing and stay away from situations that tempt you. That's the negative part of this, okay? Stay away from temptation. But the positive part is our next point. Focus on something better. Focus on something better. The Bible says that the spiritual battle against sin is fought in the mind. Here's some more sound advice from Solomon. Be careful how you think. Your life is shaped by your thoughts. If you want to change your life, it starts right here. Whatever captures my attention captures me. The key to dealing with temptation is not trying to resist, but to refocus your attention. Okay? You turn your eyes. You mentally change channels. The only way to discover victory over temptation is to always refocus your attention on something else, something good. Paul told the church in Philippi, fill your minds with beauty and truth. Meditate on whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good, whatever is virtuous and praiseworthy. This is called the principle of replacement. You replace the bad with something good, right? You know, vacuums don't exist naturally. They don't. They're artificially created. If you create a vacuum, something always fills it. My gas tank is never empty. Unfortunately, if it's not full of gas, it's full of air. Car doesn't run so good on air. In the same way, your mind, contrary to what your wife may be saying, is never empty. Okay, maybe it's just mine. But you say you're going to get rid of a thought, right? But it will always come right back unless you replace it with something else. Right? Principle of replacement. When you want to get rid of stinking thinking, you fill your mind with thankful thoughts. You fill it with acceptable attitudes, with righteous reflections, with virtuous visions. That's what Paul told the Roman church to do. He said, do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind. Focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes, so that you may prove for yourself what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purpose for you. So this sixth step is to focus on something better, right? You fill your mind with the good things of God. Fill it with his word, the Bible. And the next thing might seem a little out of place on this list, but it's important, and it's to restore broken relationships. Why is this important? Because anything that's out of control in your life is hurting somebody else. When we have addictions, we manipulate and we harm other people. We hurt them to fulfill those addictions. You need to make things right. Go to those people that you know you've hurt and restore that relationship. Paul explained to the church in Corinth, all this comes from the God who settled the relationship between us and him, and then called us to settle our relationships with each other. How do we do this? Well, make a list. Make a list of people that you know your habits have harmed. And you go to those people and you ask forgiveness for hurting them. And offer restitution where it's necessary, as much as you can anyways, to try to make things right. Right? Why? Because a clear conscience is essential for change. Guilt will just keep you enslaved if you don't do this. Go back, make things right. This is probably the hardest step in discovering freedom, folks. But it often brings the greatest reward, restored relationship. And when those people who've been hurt by your sin see that you're serious about change, they can become your greatest cheerleaders, your biggest supporters. Which brings us to our next step. Enlist a support group. Get help. We all need support, folks. Physical support, emotional support, financial support, spiritual support, prayer support, right? Why? Because we were never meant to live life on our own. God made it so life works better together. Solomon wrote, two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. This is what accountability is all about. Helping each other succeed all along life's journey. You know, I've seen too often that when people are recovering from an addiction, that after a while, they're thinking, oh, thank God I've got this licked. So they don't feel they need support anymore. But that's usually when life happens, right? Life comes along, slaps you upside the haircut, and you feel out of control again. And you fall back into bad habits. So how do you break that cycle? You need continued support. You need friends who care about you, who will pray for you, encourage you, help keep you on track. When life happens, those people are there to spur you on, to lift you up, to carry you if necessary. Two are better than one because they can support and help each other succeed. We need each other. Believe it or not, there are others who need the help and support that only you can give. And that's why our last step today is to extend help to others. Extend help to others. One of the best tools I've seen to help people overcome their own problems is for them to help somebody else. It takes their focus off themselves and onto another person, onto their needs. And not only does it help us out of our problems, it helps keep us out of them in the future. Paul wrote to the Corinthian church this. He said, Christ helps us in all our troubles so that we are able to help others in trouble, using the same help that we ourselves have received from God. So God allows us to go through problems. Even the ones I brought on by myself, my own dumb thinking, my own poor choices. And then he helps me through that problem so that we can turn around. We can see victory. And then we can help other people going through the exact same stuff we went through with the same help that we've been given. Over and over again, I've seen God redeem people's hurts, redeem their hang-ups, redeem their bad habits, and then use them in helping and ministering to others. God never wastes a hurt. He wants to help you through this problem, help you overcome it, and get victory over it, and then give you a ministry of helping other people with the exact same problems. My prayer is that some of you are going to start putting these things into practice, these 9 steps. You're going to stop hiding your hurt. You're going to get involved in maybe a Celebrate Recovery group, especially give your life to Jesus, and you're going to get victory over sin and shame. And in a couple years, you're going to have a ministry here at this church to those very people that have the exact same problems you're working through right now. That's how you'll discover purpose from your pain. Paul told the Galatian church, "My friends, you are spiritual. So if someone's trapped in sin, you should gently lead that person back to the right path. But watch out and don't be tempted yourself. You obey the law of Christ when you offer each other a helping hand." If you want to be like Jesus, he says, if you want to be loving and obedient to him, then help one another overcome their hurts. The hurts, the hang-ups, the habits that can come into our lives. But as I said earlier, it must all start with Jesus. Turning to him for help and giving him your life, letting him lead it, so you don't fall into slavery again to those things. Fact is that if you don't think you need him today, you will tomorrow. But tomorrow may end up being too late. Remember, sin wants to steal your life and destroy you. That's why Jesus came. To set you free from the wages of sin, which is death, and give you real life and an eternal life with him. Paul said the wages of sin is death. Free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. Purpose, freedom, and eternal life. Why would you not want that? If you're here, you're watching online today, and you decided, you know what? I want to do that. I'm ready to do that today. I want to accept Jesus' offer to take away my hurts, help me through my hang-ups and get rid of those bad habits. And you're ready to follow him and let him lead you from now on. I'm going to help you, as I said earlier, by leading you in a short prayer to God. You can just pray along silently with me, and God will hear you and take your sin away. He'll help you overcome the consequences of the sinful choices that you've already made in the past. He'll help you through that, and he'll give you a hope and a future. He'll give you freedom and purpose in this life. If you're ready to do this, then if we could all bow our heads together. If this is you, just raise a hand to God. Just reach out to him and pray along with me. Just say, God, thank you for your help, for your offer to help, and give me a new life of freedom. I admit that I've been trying to live my own way in. Be honest, God, I've made a lot of mistakes. And I now know that I've sinned against you and I've sinned against some other people in my life. I know I got to make it right. So God, please forgive me. I choose to believe that you can change me. I want to believe the truth that only you set me free. So Jesus, as much as I know how, I give my life to you right now. I need your help, Lord. And I want to follow your best for me from now on. I'm ready to take this first step today so I can live the rest of my life as the best of my life. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. As the rest of the band comes back to join me, if you prayed that simple prayer from your heart, God did hear you. And he accepted you as his child, and he is available to help you. You've taken the first step in your journey of freedom. You are free from the consequences of those things from your past, but you are also free to live out the purpose that God designed for you from now on. No longer bound, you are free to live out all that he has for you. And before we do dismiss in just a moment, if you did pray that prayer for the first time, would you please let me know? I really love to just pray with you and answer any questions you may have as well. I've got some resources I'd love to share with you and be willing to walk through them with you if you care to. If you got to get going, you fill out one of those Connect cards, please, for us, and I'll connect with you and help you through that. And just so you know, next week, I hope you'll join us, but I hope you'll invite somebody because we're going to be dealing with continuing in this whole Discovering Freedom series we've been working on, and next week we're going to look at financial freedom, okay? One a lot of us need, right? So I hope you'll join us for that and bring somebody along who needs to hear it as well.